Blog Talk Radio.
My goodies, my goodies, my goodies, not my goodies.
I got a sick reputation for handling brawls. All I need is me a few seconds and more than this rap. Tell the lady to bring my lap, and I ain't coming back, so you can put a car right there. I'm the truth, and I ain't got nothing to prove. And you can ask anybody, cause they seen me do it. Barricades, I run right through them, I'm used to them. Throw all the dirt you want, no you don't. Still won't have a pen up in a fabulous room. Bone her back, picking out a basket of fruit.
I love you, bro.
Yeah, freaking Petey, love you too. You know how I do.
Good evening. How are you doing? This is All Flowing Big Mama from Unsane Talent, wishing you a blessed and beautiful night. I am glad to be on the air. Thanks to Sin City Radio. I'm calling in tonight to talk about Black Lives. You know, a lot of things have been going on in the media, and there's a lot of cause of controversies. But before we even get in touch with all of that, I have to give a crazy shout out to Untamed Talent, Sin City Radio, all of the vendors that were there, Nady De La Rose, Organic Coffee that showed out and showed out at Healing with Words for Adelie, Adele with her cosmetics, everything, Yin Cosmetics, I believe it is, Yin Healing is what it was called. Everybody was so you sometimes you're speechless, and it's hard to be speechless when you're, you know, supposed to be a host. So I don't think that's a good look for me, but I'll keep on talking. Anyways, you know, we had a great time. We had wonderful performers. I want to give a Taya Bell for coming out and blessing us, Tony Coleman Brown for blessing the show to start off with, and of course, all the way from Orlando, Adina Sutton with her praise dancing. I mean, it was just a magnificent show. And while we were doing all of this healing and addressing all types of situations that were going on, one of the situations that were going on is going on for our generation, is this Black Lives Matter movement. And it's about, for me, see, Black Lives Matter is more than just the brutality that's coming on, but its focus is the fact of police brutality and the protest that's coming on. And a lot of people are asking the question, so I put it out there. Let's be realistic about it. A lot of people are asking, is Black Lives Matter a cause or excuse to cause crime or for us to retaliate? I personally think Black Lives Matter is not an excuse for any of that. What it should be is a cause for Black people to unite and help make change. Now, with any industry or organization, there are going to be some things that need to work out. Are they a gang? I don't know. They're not a gang. White people, when you dressed up in white sheets and chased around Black people, y'all didn't call the Ku Klux Klan a gang, but we know to this day that they're a gang, one of the most notorious gangs. But I'll wait on that. So, you know, I rant and I rave. I mean, there is two sides to every story, and sometimes people will pick up a cause and not be a part of it, but use it as an excuse to be down with something, to get away with something. So before you start screaming about Black Lives Matter, make sure you're doing something to make sure that your lives actually matter. Anyways, that's all I'm saying for right now. Let's hear Marvin Gaye as he talks about brother, brother. Sister, sister, you know what's going on.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother,
what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Mother, there's too many of you crying.
brother. There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Yes, what's going on? Oh, wow. I mean, this is an emotional topic because it has a lot of different parts to it. A lot of people feel that, and it looks like I put up today on my page basically like what I felt was going on and how I felt about certain things. And while some people do agree with my logic, they also agree that time right now is for change and that you need to move forward. You need to be able to do that, to have that type of change. We need to do these major protests and different things that are going on. And a lot of times I'm saying to myself, I say, I understand boycott. I really do. And I also understand why a lot of people don't do boycotts, because we're going to stop giving them money and show them that they need us. But 30 days, 20 days, 100 days, yeah, they'll suffer. But then we're going right back because we're not invested in ourselves. We don't have, like, I thought about it. Like, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do this boycott that they said. I'm not going to buy from any store that isn't Black-owned in my neighborhood. I'm not going to. So, and then I thought about it. Then I'm going to get an ACS case because I'm not going to feed my kids for about 30 days because I don't have a Black grocery store in my neighborhood. Mr. Chen runs the grocery store in my neighborhood. Alibaba owns the corner stores in my neighborhood. Juan Enrique owns the grocery stores in my neighborhood. And while, of course, those are colors, they're renting those stores from the Jewish men that don't live anywhere in my neighborhood. So even if I support Juan, Allah, or Mr. Chin, I'm still supporting the white man, any which way you put it. The money somehow is going to rotate. It's called that revolving money situation. They're going to make their money. So how do you make change? Change comes from words, like being put into bills, lobbying, pressure. And while putting pressure on their pockets may hurt, we're too of a materialistic race that don't know how to stay out of the stores. It's just what I'm saying. So I'm going to open this up right now so that we can have a general conversation about what's going on. I'm going to be picking out some things that are also on Facebook to really, you know, because people have been making comments and trends. And, you know, we want to also touch on the police brutality and what goes on with that. So I believe we have Miss Sin City up on the mic to really talk. Anybody else who wants to call in, the number is 323-870-4360. Just press 1 and get your input in, because like I said, this is a real touchy subject and I'd like to hear what's going on in the world. Miss Sin City, so, you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here. Hello, hello. Good evening. Good night, everybody. How y'all doing? I hope y'all are doing much better than we've been doing in the last couple weeks. You can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were really quiet, so I didn't. I was like,
"Is my mic?" No, I heard you. I was letting you get that little promo in, little talk about, you know, say what you were saying. I wasn't gonna cut in. I'm trying to also, you know, line up what's going on, because you know the Facebook is like social media, not just even Facebook. Social media and within itself has been on fire with everything that's going on within the community, because you know it's one of the things that everybody turns to. You, if you don't watch the news, you'll find out what's going on somebody's social media before you even turn on Channel 2. So I'm just
absolutely
checking while we're talking.
You have to absolutely be careful with that. Just to kind of get in, basically get right into it. I need us to stop thinking that we are a materialistic people and we can't stop going to the store. I would implore people to take the view, or at least try to see the view, that it's not about the material things that we crave. It's about the betterment of life. Way back when, in our kingdom, before, you know, the havoc of I don't want to say the havoc of the white man, but being infiltrated as we were in the various places where we lived very peacefully, one of the things that we always did, we created things that basically bettered life. So we're talking everything from creating nice soap to bathe your skin and smell good, to brushing your teeth. And even now we've created things throughout our lives and throughout history that are all about bettering life. And we have definitely, with that mentality and with that behind what we do and how we feel and that as a driving force innately within us, we have a tendency to buy things or go after things or be attracted to things that do just that, that make us feel good, that make us look good. And it's all about positive energy and doing things that make us feel good. So if we take on that view versus just being a quote-unquote consumeristic community, then you would actually see the value in the things that you do purchase, and you see the value in the things and the way how you move. Most of the crimes that are committed in the urban, and I'll say the urban communities, because that's the word that they use for black code, a lot of the crimes that are committed in urban black communities do have to do with basically trying to better oneself. if someone else has more than you, then you want what they have so that you can be better. And I'm not saying that the crime itself is right, but it's the same kind of crime that goes on mostly in each community. Like, wherever you live, that's how it's going to be. But as a people who've been oppressed and depressed and suppressed for so long and told that you are not, period, fill in any kind of blanks that you want after that, we have a tendency to try to strive however we can and get to the top however we can, whether it be legal or not. And our main focus has always been to better our family and to better ourselves. And unfortunately, it's an individual thing, you know, when you say ourselves, meaning me and my family, not necessarily you and your family. And that's the only real division that I feel that we have. But our thought process, nonetheless, is I need to better me. I need to better my family. I need to do what I got to do for my family. So if we realize and really take on that and realize if we really accept that at least that portion of what makes us, quote-unquote, a consumer community, then it's not necessarily about being a consumer, because money was never a part of it. It's always been about trade for us. Way back in ancient times, it was all about trade. What can you do for me to help me better my life that I can do for you to help you better your life? You know what I'm saying? And it's always been about trade.
And, like, I believe that as time has gone on, what the saying is that has been revamped, and no matter how you put it, it's almost like everyone is trying to be like the Joneses. Everyone's trying to be better than the Jones. Only thing that instead of Jones being LaQuisha and Jeanette Jones or LaQuisha and Jahe Jones, they want to be like Lisa or Marie or Mary or, you know, some auspicious name that's going to be like so empowering that you just have to be. There is too much of, instead of sharing the wealth and you know, I would like to say that village mentality, it's more of I need to be better. And I like, oh, Jones got a house. I need a house. Jones got a car. Oh, it has two doors. I need four doors. Oh, Jones got a plasma TV. It's 37 inches. I need to have a 65-inch TV. Sure, if he
Again,
got a 65-inch TV, I need a 95-inch TV. What for?
Please,
only because
of
status. And unfortunately, in our society, we base status on material value.
Because in the way how they have stripped us down of our identity throughout the years, the only thing that was acceptable to the rest of society is when you have things. That's where status now comes from, only because that was the thought process that was forced down our throats for hundreds and hundreds of years. So when you remove status, when people become enlightened, please understand that they don't necessarily, they don't do things for status. They don't do things for recognition in a large light. They do things out of the good spirit of themselves. And we have a lot of people who do that. And to say that I want something that's better than yours is not necessarily a bad thing, because to be honest, we as a community, we all strive to be better than. And it's not a hit or a jive against my sister or my brother. It's just that I want to be better than everybody. I just want to be better. And that's the innate.
But at the cost of your own race, because that's where it falls at. It is at the cost of your own race.
And the only reason why,
you want to be better than your own people, other than to help your people get up. You would rather steal from your people or do better than your people or cheat your people or support someone other than your people to get where you need to be. And that's the problem. We don't have that unity.
We need unity. Yes, we definitely need unity, but in terms of all of those things being the reason why we can't have unity, please understand that it's broken up in pieces, and all of those different parts that you just said that came out of, oh, why we think that we can't support ourselves, please understand that every step of the way, the result of not being able to support because comes from that systematic degradation and tearing down of our community in the first place. And to be honest, some just being downright. I don't want to say what's the word. It's not homophobic, but the a downright phobia of themselves, the self hatred that is so that has been so ingrained.
Let me think
really,
of a
really
word
long
for
time.
Flowing dictionary.
Oh Jesus.
We're gonna have a word for that. I'm gonna think. The definition of the word is. To hate oneself, or it's great. Don't worry. Definitely, the word it will be coming soon, and a price tag of $2 will be placed on it.
Okay.
As I
think. But part of the reason why we as a community have been that way is because when we have banded together in the past, when we have done things in the past to help each other, we've been ostracized for it. We've been killed for it. Like there's so much things that penalize you from being a caretaker or keeper of your brother or your sister that to be honest, a lot of people, that's part of the reason everybody thinks as an individual. See, because us as a community, we are a force to be reckoned with. And the reason why everybody harps on the dollar bill, what we do with our money, is because In all honesty, we have the most buying power there is. And we can recognize the amount of buying power that we do have that we can then reinvest in ourselves. It is hard because of those businesses who can't get space. And understand that I truly believe that it's not that Black people don't want to own businesses or that they haven't tried, but some have tried and failed for various reasons either. And I won't say lack of support of their own community. I'll just say lack of support, period, because lack of support goes many ways. When somebody doesn't want to lease you the space, it doesn't matter who owns the building, but when somebody doesn't want to lease you the space or compromise negotiate with you on how much the space is going to cost, when they want to gouge you out of the little bit of funds that you have, I mean, the whole entire
you also have to take into accountability. I understand that's my point, and that is a major part, but you also have the things that I consider like major buying power. You say we have major buying power, but at the same accord, we don't use that power wisely.
No, we don't do it enough.
Because we will go like, all right, like say for us, I have a book out, right?
Uh-huh.
You go into Bloomingdale's. If they sell books, you know, I'll be there. But you go into Barnes and Noble and the price says $15. You take the book, you go to the store, you go to the counter, you give the man $15. Or plus, matter of fact, you give them more than $15 because there's tax on the book, right?
Uh-huh.
Automatically. There's no, you don't get to the register and look at the cashier and say, well, you know, I come into this store every day and I really don't buy much, but I know you. And this book says $15, but since I see you every day, can I get it for $10? No tax? No. But as just point and take, remember the show that we just had on Saturday, Healing Work?
Uh-huh.
Basically came to me and asked and said to me, why are your tickets so much? It should be like $12 or whatever the case may be. And I said, why?
That's because
I said, you go to Broadway.
That person didn't see the value in the ticket. And I
exactly.
get it. I completely agree.
We and the people, we do that a lot. And I've come across that. I'm not just saying, and I'm not.
But there are
I'm
people,
not generalizing
but see,
the whole race. But.
But do you realize
that?
Do you realize that if there's
that
a way
we're
that
we're going to give you a deal because it's a black owned business? I see
no,
men
see,
walk up to other men on the street who don't know each other, like brother Melo. I see you selling that for $15, but I'll give you
okay.
$10.
So do you realize that most of the time these power execs and whatnot do not pay full price for anything? Did you know
and
that?
That's a beautiful – but they've
yes,
gotten to that level. How are we going to get
you,
to that level
listen,
if our
no,
people
what I'm
every
saying,
time they come into
saying
your
to you.
Shop or thing, they're asking for a handout or a discount? We have to pay
listen
bills
to what
to
I'm
pay.
Saying to you. Listen to what I'm saying.
You're saying executive. Executive means I have executive
funds. I wasn't finished, but I was not finished. It's not just the executive. It's anybody who buys anything. Nobody wants to pay full price for anything. Actually,
yes, but when you go into a store and it's
really a price
tag,
we as black people,
if you
I think
go
that we as black
Target,
people, when we go into
and it
a
has
store,
a price tag on
we
it,
are
and
the
you
only
want it to pick it up and you pay it. When you see a black person and they owning it and they're outside or they're trying to make that money or they're trying to do a business on their own, whatever, you try your damnedest to get the best, the cheapest price for the most
again,
profit and then talk about it.
No, listen to me. Again, when people, when you buy things outside of your community, you're less likely to ask questions and you're less likely to inquire and less likely to ask for a discount. And it happens, that's not a black thing. That is a thing that happens across the board. Unless you are a person that just does not like to pay full price for anything. Please understand, I know people that regardless of who they're talking to, no matter what, they don't want to pay full price for anything and are always willing to ask for a deal. Please understand, this is also one of the things that they teach you in school in terms of business. They teach you negotiations. They teach you about asking for anything. And what do we say in our community all the time? Fools' mouths don't get fed. If you do not ask a question, so maybe I do want to support you, but I don't have the $15 or I can't afford the $15 right now, can I get it for 10? Nine times out of 10, or maybe seven times out of 10, I'll say. Seven times out of 10, it's not that people don't want to support or they're asking for a discount because, oh, they don't see value in whatever you have. Really, it's that they want to support you, but they don't have the money. It's like $15 is a little steep, but I'm willing to give up the $10 for it. And it happens all the time. And it also happens in these white communities where these motherfuckers do not pay full price for anything.
Sidebar. The word that we were looking for earlier is heterophobic.
No, heterophobic refers to a phobia of heterosexuals.
You're heterophobic.
Somebody straight.
What we were talking about?
No.
I'm talking about
black people.
Okay.
A phobia of black people.
Oh, okay. Blackophobic.
No, I don't like it. Negrophobic?
I don't care. No. Negrophobic. All right.
Negrophobic.
Negrophobia.
Yeah, negrophobia.
Negrophobia. Please post. Negrophobia. And $2 charge.
$2 charge.
One who's afraid of oneself or race.
No, one who's afraid of the black race.
Mm-hmm.
Brown race. Because really, we're not black. That's not the color we are. We just dark. Our melanin is just on pop.
I technically happen to be, brown sugar, but you know. I can't go in the rain because I tend to melt. But we got a little hot and heavy, and not that I love the back and forth verbiage, but I need to lighten up just a little bit. So I need to hear some unity, because we need some unity. We just need to get along, because these negrophobic people.
Oh my God!
Pissing me off.
Negrophobic people.
UNITY, that's a unity. UNITY, love a black man from his city.
Who you calling the pig?
Brother, call a girl a bitch or a hoe. Trying to make a sister feel low. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring breath to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cut off shorts on right because it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. I turned around red, somebody was catching a rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me, bitch.
And laughed, since he was with his watch him dead in his eyes.
Who you calling him?
That may not be exactly about the topic, but it's UNTY, and I figure unity is unity, even though, you know, we're talking about the sisters being united and standing up for the properness of everything. But, no, on serious talk, Black Lives Matter started because the brutality of our major commodity has been abused. It has rise to a level of concern. It's rise to a level of concerns where a lot of the people are like saying, okay, well, our sons, but I have a daughter who plays basketball and wears a hoodie and wears sweatpants. Sometimes it may sag a little and whatever, and she wears the flyer sneakers and she wears straight back. She's still a girl, and I worry for her just to go to the corner store after dark. And that's a hard thing for a mother to do. And as a mother, you know, just in general, we worry about our kids every day. We're scared to send our kids out into society just on a normal, like, oh, my God, my child, what if she fails? What if she doesn't fail? What if he fails? You know, are they going to be able to pay the rent? You know, we worried. If you're a concerned parent and you invested a lot in your children, you're concerned about whether or not your kids are going to make it. So why are we now adding more CERN? Because now our children can't buy Skittles in Arizona without being gunned down. They can't go to the corner store without being gunned down. They can't walk up a block without being stopped, frisked, or gunned down. Our children are our biggest commodity. I mean, our black males are our our gold. These are things, these are the commodity that white people went over oceans and seas and the different continents to capitalize on, and yet the value of them now is less than what we were originally sold for. And that's disheartening. It allows for a lot of feeling and animosity and a lot of things that are that people feel are unright, and hitting them in their pockets may do a lot. And you know, it went from having to sit down and have your children have a conversation about the birds and the bees and how to treat a lady, and to giving them instructions on what to do so that they can come home alive. And I see a lot of these posts on Facebook, you know, depicting what is going on. I see them on, you know, on Instagram, you know, the brutality of the police. And it's okay to hate the police officers that are doing this. It's okay to hate the legislation that is allowing those officers to get off. What my problem is that while we're doing this, we have done what has been done to us, and no one's realizing or no one's accepting the fact. You can't put every police officer in that category. You can't put everybody in that organization in that category that they are the enemy, because every cop is not going to stop your son when he walks the street. Every cop is not assuming that your son is a criminal or your daughter just robbed a bank or murdered somebody. Just like not every black man is a thug, a drug dealer, or a woman beater. Not every black woman is on welfare or a whore or ratchet. I know a few of them, but not all of them. So when we put those type of, you know, feelings out there, you're putting my family's at risk. Because not only am I now worried about my daughter walking out the house, I have to worry about my family, who decided that because this system was so corrupt that they wanted to be a positive enforcement, that they're out there being officers and putting their line under risk, but because they wear that color blue, now they're just as bad as the color black. Miss Sin City, are you still there?
I am. I'm still here. I'm definitely still here.
What is your intake on that?
I agree that you can't pull everybody into one big general category. I definitely know officers who are absolute beautiful letters of the law, and enforce the law in a way where it's beneficial both to the community and everyone involved. Understanding that, yeah, there are criminals who need to be handled appropriately, and that officers still need to protect themselves. Of course, everything is about the way how it is handled. And I'm all for it. The biggest issue that I have that is not being said, or the declaration and the clarity that is not being given, is the fact that the question is not whether or not you believe somebody is a criminal. It's not whether or not you believe they are a criminal. It's not whether or not you are checking to make sure whether or not they are a criminal. It is the fact that you are assuming from Jump Street that they are a criminal, and you are shooting to kill before anything is even found. That is the biggest issue, that is what calls the attention to the Black Lives Matter movement. That is exactly where it was born from. Nobody's saying that everybody in the black community is you know, a star student or a star citizen, not by a long shot. But not everyone is a criminal, a thug, a drug dealer, some kind of pusher, or a deviant. And what's crazy to me is that we're not even given the opportunity to defend ourselves or at least help to prove that we are not. It is automatically assumed. The thing that kills me the most in all of these situations is that the default reason for all of these people being shot from the police by these stupid ass police officers is, oh, I feared for my life. I'm sorry. Y'all rolled up on a 12-year-old playing in a park in an open carry state. Y'all rolled up in a car. He was sitting in a park by himself in an open carry state, and you didn't talk to him. You shot him. A 12-year-old. I have a 12-year-old. I have a 4-year-old. That play, I mean, I don't let my kids play with guns anyway, but in an open carry state where you are allowed, as long as you are licensed, to carry a piece in open, in plain fucking sight, y'all didn't ask this kid any questions. There was no checking. Y'all shot him dead in the park by himself. Philando Castillo, who just died the other day, he got stopped maybe for the 68th time in a matter of 3 or 4 years. But he had been stopped about 68 times in a matter of 4 years. The man had a squeaky clean record, but again, he was in an open carry state, and he divulged this information and shared this information with the cops and said, listen, I need to give you my ID. I'm going to reach for my ID. And instead of allowing that man to produce his ID so that you could properly check all of his information, you shot him, and you shot him in front of his 4-year-old daughter.
And you know what
I say
to that?
The reason why they stopped him, if you listen to that 911 tape, the reason why they stopped him is because, oh, he fit the description of somebody who just committed some kind of crime not too far. Oh, he had a wide nose.
You have a right to be upset. But the thing what I say with this is that where the change has to come is within the penalties of which is going on. Because these officers are getting away, these bad officers are
getting away
with murder. Because the thing is this, if you get shot, if you shoot a cop, in most states you either get life or you get the death penalty.
Or you get killed before you
make it to jail.
Exactly.
But if a cop shoots you, legislation has it, whereas they get a slap on the wrist. They get I saw on the internet today, officer loses his job.
That was
his punishment.
He lost his job. That was his punishment.
So,
he lost his
and
job.
And this is where
but
I say
able
where
to go
we
home.
Come with the lobbying. And if police officers were getting punished, and their reprimanding were more severe than, oh, my God, I'm just going to lose my job and get my my pension may be not as much as
where,
it was supposed to be.
Okay, so here's where a lot of the reprimand, and let me offer some things, right? Here's where I think the reprimand should come in. And it's a multiple layered reprimand because they need to be reprimanded on at every level. I understand that when they first go out on leave, when the investigation first starts, they're put on desk duty. Desk duty just means that you can't be out with a gun. You are holstered, you are sitting at a desk, but you are still working and you are still getting paid. Right? And I get that there are situations where it requires that. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, all police shootings, actually, anytime you're involved in a shooting, you're put on desk duty for a short amount of time to make sure and to check that everything is copacetic with how you handled the situation. Some things are more in-depth than others. But there comes a certain time when if your investigation is not clean and cut and fucking dry, hello, there has to be a question of, okay, how does this affect you monetarily? That's number one. All right? Are we taking away something from you? Okay, are you on suspension? I mean, for a short period of time, and this is only level one. You know what I mean? For you to understand that
I think if they gave the same rule as they did, if you shoot somebody, murder is murder. It doesn't matter
who you kill, murder is murder.
So if I shot a cop, death penalty. If I shot a kid, death penalty. the same way you have to go about these things. And I guarantee you, if
the punishment fit the crime,
there'd be less of it.
Correct. But you also have to think about the fact that on one hand, a civilian killing anybody is a civilian killing anybody. A cop killing somebody is a way different thing, because if it is a part of your job to protect, and this is the part where it gets all misconstrued and confuddled, and where people are so torn. If your job is to protect and serve, part of protection is to make sure that, listen, either you are protecting yourself, you are protecting your community, and that in some cases may mean that you need to shoot somebody. But you could shoot to disarm, you could shoot to injure, you do not need to shoot to kill. I cannot even begin to tell you how many white men who have blatantly been disrespectful and walked up into the faces of fucking police officers, blatantly resisting arrest, and they still are able to walk away. We as black people do not have
and
that
I
luxury.
And actually, if the punishment, like you said, a police officer killing somebody is a protect and serve. That's why they give them the highest kudos. If you shoot a officer, we as civil servants have a little 7-year slap on the wrist. And even, like, I work for the city. So if you attack me while I'm on the job, there's a chance that you can get 7 years. What they don't tell you is in the fine print that we can also slap you with a misdemeanor, we'll get you 7 years of probation. So that doesn't give you any kind of kudos.
If it's a cop,
in itself, you're getting time, you're going to jail, you're getting under the jail if you even make it to the jail. So being that we hold them at that high of a level, then their crime should be just the same as if I tried
to
kill you.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying.
But also, I was about to say, so I could just finish my thought.
Yeah, finish your thought, baby.
The reason why these police officers are not being indicted on the charges where it is blatantly clear that they are killing people, like blatantly and outrightly clear that they have killed innocent people, is because the lawyers and prosecutors in this system are not doing
pick the
their
juries.
Job.
They pick the juries.
Beyond,
no,
beyond the
they
jury. And it goes beyond
juries.
The jury. It goes beyond the jury. Listen, it goes beyond the jury. And I was watching on Facebook the video of a young black lawyer who said that she has participated in plenty of trials where plenty of grand jury trials where she was prosecution and defense for, you know, she was either on prosecution side or defense side. And she said when these grand jury trials come up, an indictment is not hard to get, because it is the job of the prosecutor to prove and to share the information that will get them an indictment for the crimes that have been committed. The problem is that these prosecutors are not fucking prosecuting. They are letting these officers walk free.
And that's why
because
we need
they are
to
not
be putting pressure
all the grand jury,
on. It's not
all the grand
pressure
jury,
that we need to be
all the,
putting on the stores and the economy. We need to be putting pressure on the legislation and the Congress and the Senate. We need to be putting pressure where it counts, and that's within the law system. So, you know, before we even go any further, because we're running low on time, I can't go without having Public Enemy fight the power, because there's the legislation that is corrupt. It is the laws that's keeping these cops from behind bars.
It's not even the laws. It's
right,
not the laws.
Yes, it is.
It's
the,
it's the way. It's the way how. It's
where,
the way
it's
how
the
law is presented. It's
the
way how the
law
is presented. Because those grand jury trials, those grand jury trials are ex parte, which means it's one sided. Which means the defense has to say nothing. They don't have to say nothing. If you are in a courtroom and your only
job
is to present the information to prosecute,
pop the fire.
Just 100 years after Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves, 200,000 people converge on the nation's capital to rally for civil rights. They come by train, they come by bus and by air. They come from the north, the south, the east and west. They come united in one cause, to urge Congress to pass a civil rights bill to end forever the blight of racial inequity.
By 11:30, there are more than 200,000 thronging the mall, a crowd that is bigger than the most optimistic forecasts. Now there's a growing animation. It seems as if the demonstrators were finding strength in each other, had discovered their cause was a bond. Arrests in Washington were below normal. Police attribute this to the fact that for the first time in 30 years, you couldn't even buy a beer in Washington. The civil rights marchers needed no stimulants like that. They provided their own with songs that ranged from the sacred to the hillbilly, but with the one recurring theme, the cause of 20 million Negroes. Washington, D.C., 1963. Democracy speaks in a mighty voice.
Yo, check this out, man. We rolling this way. That march in 1963, that was a bit of nonsense. We ain't rolling like that no more. Matter of fact, the young black America, we rolling up with seminars, press conferences, and straight up rallies. Am I right? We gonna get what we got to get. Coming to us, word up. We ain't going out like that 63 nonsense.
Playback.
Fight the power, that's me.
Well, that was me talking about, that was Public Enemy and talking about Fight the Power. And I believe that fighting the power through legislation, through bill changes, through stricter punishment, through jury indictments, whatever it takes to make sure that we get the actuality and we pick our juries fairly, as well as making these laws rules. This is a big topic, so first I want to give thanks to Sin City Radio and Miss Sin City for coming on. I know I cut her short just so I could get that Public Enemy in because time is running out, but don't think that that should be the last time you're here, because this is a bigger issue that cannot be just held in one-hour show. So zooming out the rest of this month that I'm on the air live, we were doing, so next week we'll be talking about Black Matters versus All Matter, Black Lives Matters versus All Lives Matter, and that controversy, and we'll bring back other people and have other questions and concerns to discuss, because this is something that's epic. As a black woman, as a black person in society who is not negrophobic, you know, I need to be able to make sure that my people are walking the state street safe, and I need to be doing my part to making sure that we are, as a race, becoming unified in the cause and not just using the cause as an excuse to get out of doing things that we know we have to do because Black Lives Matter. This is Offflow and Big Mama from Untamed Talent, giving you XAF, Big Mama's Truth, the kind of truth you're not accustomed to, but I'm damn sure going to tell it the way I feel it is. Brought to you by Sin City Radio. You can catch me every Tuesday night at night. Catch Miss Sin City on her own show, Sin's Right of Request, on Monday nights at 11 o'clock. And then you can also find Access Conversations with Mo Don on Wednesday night between 8 and 10. Once again, I appreciate y'all for tuning in and listening. We have like 1 minute, so we're just going to play out. I know this is in poor taste, but Bob Marley, I shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy. Good night, all. Have
fun. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy. Oh, no, oh. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy.
Shut up.